Here we go. Oh boy, here we are. Say hi in the chat.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, who's here? Who's inside the little box? Who is inside the technological box? Ooh, everybody's filling in here. Say hi, good morning. Brenda Mary. There's Anna Sather. She is not in her pajamas tonight. She knows. There's Jacqueline. I am. Hi. Sharon Lair. Oh my God, how are you? North Vancouver's in the house. Pembroke, Ontario is in the house. Simi Valley, California. I am in the box. Oh, I love it. Howdy, Lily. Capital of Oracle Parties, Wyoming. Oh, I love that. You are visualizing. I can tell. Wyoming is calling that plane ticket. There's Carmen, Jean, Sharon D'Angelo, Lisa Stevens, Charlene Scott, and Whistler Allison, and a lovely box it is. Any cat there? No, no cat, only dogs.
And a hotel.
I was thinking about cats the other day. Yeah, and Doug is in the hotel. And next Tuesday, I'm going to be in California. Those of you know that Jenna, who does the art on all the decks, her son is having brain surgery on Tuesday. So I'm going to be in Los Angeles. And so I'm going to teach or shared wisdom from my friend's office there. So next week. So, and then we'll take pictures. Hopefully he'll have half his head all shaved, but you got so many of you were so wonderful. And I thought you would be interested in knowing that. And that I will not be in my, with a Buddha behind me. I will be in an office. Yes. Schrodinger's cat. You are too smart, Allison. I understand Schrodinger's cat. That's right. Is there a cat in the box? I get it. All right. So there's Sandy Dixon, Lori, Portugal, Fatima, Marianne Graham, thank you. There are lots and lots of, yeah, can you imagine, right? He's got a lot of people supported him, which is so great. Most of them strangers. The family was so touched. So I know Jenna asked me to thank everybody who, for your prayers and even for the, you know, it was just wonderful. Thank you so much. Everybody's so great. Okay, so we have a lot to talk about tonight.
We do.
I want to tell you guys, what I'm going to do is talk to you about the oracle card I picked. Then we're going to do another meditation since you seem to do so well. And I think it's nice to land in the meditation for shared wisdom. So module three, and by the way, nobody is behind. We're all together until August. So we have plenty of time. Remember we said we're dumping the content on you in the first 7 weeks. So it's very intense. Then it's not, it's different. Then you have Doug and I once a month, and then you have Anna like once a week or what. So like you'll have lots of calls, but there is no pressure. We need to go, ooh, relax, yeah. Relax, relax. Yeah, totally relaxed. Hey, Mary Elizabeth, there's Jeanette, Jacqueline again. Yes, thank God, exactly. There is no pressure, honest to gosh. Like you'll see, no, Deborah, you're not behind at all. You just, exactly, Fatima, you need to slow down. The people who are doing this course for the second time are getting a whole other experience with it too. And they know, right? You're exactly where you're supposed to be. There is no pressure. By the time August rolls around, the end of July, whenever we have our last call, and then you all decide, you know, what you want to do next, you'll have already completed everything. It's just right now, you're just here to allow and then to let us talk to you about this. So, okay, so you know that... Hello, Mark, my husband. Come and say hi to people, please. Everybody wants to see you on the other side. I don't want you to go here. Come on. Look at my movie star husband, guys. This is who makes this all work.
He's the master behind it all. There he is.
Awesome. I found him on the internet. I fished him out just so for those of you single women.
He'll be at Oracle Palooza.
That's right. That's right. He is going to be there. Yes, indeedy. That's 17 years ago. There he was on the internet. Yeah, neither one of us. Yes, I did. I met him on a website. He was leaving for LA. I was leaving. We were both moving to different countries. So we said that would just be, a casual thing. And we've never been apart since the day I heard his voice. There you go. Mark in the box. It is quite a love story. Okay, so module three. When we work with others, we have to remember that.
Do you do the meditation first, or you want to do that next?
What do you think we should do?
Well, I was checking. I thought you said.
I'm good.
Okay. You said landing in the room. You said landing in. No, I've already had enough of that today.
Don't make me spit my coffee out. Hannah and I have been talking about creating computer condoms. So
you just put your coffee out?
I'm spitting coffee from laughing.
I love that. That's funny.
Look at them laughing.
Oh my gosh.
I'm
just going to tell you that there is a hawk flying outside of my hotel room in the middle of a shopping mall in Austin, Texas.
A hawk.
There is a beautiful hawk right here coming for all of us.
That means something.
Literally right here. So that's for us. Anyway,
I was trying to check it.
You said we wanted to land with a meditation. I didn't know if you wanted to start with that or if you wanted to do in some content first. And I just wanted to check and see what you were thinking. It's totally
How about Doug? Because you are very much the learning and development guy. why don't you tell me how we feel it would be most conducive tonight?
Well, here's what I'm thinking about for this group and this topic. I think we're talking about setting our boundaries. We're talking about working with energy of others. A meditation is a great way to start any of those conversations
off.
Let's
do it.
So let's do that.
Okay, let's do that. All righty. So nobody laugh anymore. One moment, please.
Yeah, I didn't say it couldn't be a laughing meditation, you know.
Oh, laughing meditations are so fun. Have you ever done laughing yoga? I swear to God, it's so crazy.
Yeah.
No more fun. Yes, thank you, Jacqueline. Anna got me this goddess necklace. I wanted to wear it, so Anna knows I wear it. Yes, okay. Take the gum out because that helps me, and I'm going to take my glasses off. So I'd like you all to, let's get comfortable and imagine a hawk is flying over our heads. And we're hearing the whoo, 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 whoo of its wings. And we're in a really, really great space, and each one of us has our own space. So just imagine that you are commanding your space, you're sitting in your chair, and it doesn't matter who surrounds you, but you have a shimmering energy. And let's only allow that energy, let's play with it a little bit, and let's let it go about a foot outside our bodies. And if it's too far out, because sometimes we have big energy, let's pull it in. So let's imagine that at the edges of our energy, there are these magical little hooks. And we have thrown our consciousness to the edges of our boundaries that sometimes can be way too porous. And we're going to bring it in. We're going to pull it in like a very diaphanous fishing net. And it's shimmering with light and energy. And we want to have a really good sense. So if you put your elbows at your waist, oh boy, and you allow your energy to just go as far as the ends of your fingertips. So that's probably bigger than a foot. And that's where it's going to be. And hang on a second. Just go there and imagine that my husband is coming to get a dog. Because she, okay. Okay, so we're just going to hear no noise. We're not going to, I know, I'm sorry you're laughing. Sorry. I know. Well, we're having a nice meditation tonight. And we're going to laugh a little bit because we can. Why not? So we're allowing the boundaries, and no matter what goes on outside of those boundaries, whether there's a hawk or a dog or noises or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. What matters is we decide where it ends. And just imagine that now we're connecting to a continuum of energy that surrounds us like an egg. So we're really going to see the boundaries of our aura. And whatever color comes to mind, just let that, if there's any one particular color. And just jot that down, or just know it. You don't need to, especially if your hands are out, you can't write and keep your hands out at the same time. Now take a deep breath. And now let's ground our energy in the, basically what we want to do is get ourselves really safe. So at the bottoms of our feet, underneath the ground, there is what we call an earth star chakra. So there's 12 chakras. We know 7 very well, but you know, we now know that there is 12. So we're going to go one below the base chakra is the earth star. And we're actually going to root ourselves below the ground as opposed to the base of our spine where we normally do it. So just imagine that there's this glowing energy and it's a source energy that connects us to the planet, to the earth, to physical, the molecular structure of the matrix, physical matrix that we are really a part of. What happens most of the time when we're doing this work is it's very easy for us to stay in our top three chakras, our throat, our third eye, and the crown. So we tend to be up there and it could cause anxiety and we feel overwhelmed, especially if we're trying to tune in intuitively to someone else. And we forget that we need to be very, very grounded below. Okay, so we want to just get ourselves there. Now, I want you to allow yourself to feel the weight of your body as it sits on the chair. Let it be. Allow gravity to pull you to the ground. Although you don't want to fall off your chair, of course, but you want to feel being in the chair. That is, you are so present. You are physically present, energetically present, and you have weight. And I want to make sure that you're really, really nice and solid here. So we want to focus now on the base of the spine. We're going to imagine the color red, which as we know is the base chakra, or wheel in Sanskrit. So we want to just allow the imagination to bring in the color red. Don't worry if you don't see it. You don't ever have to be visual for these meditations to work. You can just know what the color red is and you will just know that it is there. So we want to really fill the lower part of us with that red energy, which connects us to security, prosperity, safety, and being grounded. And then let's move up and imagine that from our belly button down, it's now this really kind of bright orange, like orange crush. If you remember that wonderful natural looking color, that really bright orange. Sometimes topaz can be that color orange, almost electric, or opals from Australia. They have that real bright orange. Just let that be there. Just, we want to clear that out. We want to get a real sense of how we manage our connections and our intimacies with others. So we want to clear that, make sure that color is very clear to us in our mind. Then we want to go up to yellow, and we're just going to clear those bottom three chakras and the fourth one. We're not moving up into the head. We have no problem up there. What we want to do is make sure we're grounded. And then get that solar plexus moving so that you're going to be imagining that above your belly button and just below the heart is a band. And that's where a lot of people carry their tension or their anxiety. Sometimes it's in the throat. We always say it's the gut. So you want to make sure your personal power is very clear. And when you have those clearly delineated, and they kind of morph together, we just want to know that taking those colors and drawing that around us, right? It's really easy for us to imagine the blues and the purples and the whites and the sparkles, but it's harder for us to look at these colors, because most people who are looking at intuitive work are really only interested in going up there. So we need to extra care, especially when we're talking about boundaries. Just pay attention if there's any resistance and let that just be okay. And breathe in, breathe in. I'm curious to notice whether or not any of you feel shorter in your chair. So I'm going to take you to another part of this exercise, but I'm just curious if anybody feels like you're really, really solid. Yes, thank you, Kimberly. Because we can do this meditation by still speaking to each other, right? You feel a little bit shorter, don't you? Right, you don't feel as tall. So we're gonna very solid, good, solid. But what we don't want is the short torso, because that's what it can feel like. Sometimes you feel smaller, like, but strong, tough, and like, meh. So what we want to do is imagine that right here at the top of your head, right? We're gonna get a change. So imagine that the universe is pulling you up with a string. Okay, you're sitting more upright, but what we want to do is get yours a little taller. So imagine that. Your shoulders have dropped. Okay, strong. Some people feel shorter. Some people feel, so we want to just get everybody the same. So imagine that behind you is your ally or a guardian angel, or you can do it right from center of source where your energy is pulled up. So it's like, I don't remember if you were taught how to walk tall with books on your head. So it's the same sort of thing. I want you to imagine that there's a string of light. It's life force energy. It's locked on from deep in the center of the earth at that earth star chakra. You move it right up your body. We're just going to go quickly through the heart, the throat, the third eye, and the top of your head, and it's pulling you up nice and tall. Now see how you feel. And it is about love, correct? Lovingly stretching. Good. Thank you, Allison. It worked, right? Now you start to feel more balanced. Like I personally feel now I just got 6 inches taller. I felt like a little gnome for a minute there. Straighter and more balanced, exactly. Spine straight, shoulders back, yep. Taller, exactly. It's how easy this is. I'm surprised they one day, maybe in our lifetime, we'll start teaching this to kids, but okay. Calm and balance, exactly. So I'm going to ask you right now to just be with this, just be with this. Taller yet grounded, good. So what happens when other people's energy? Now we could be talking about energy vampires. Oh wait, I'm just gonna wait and see what you guys say. I tend to find challenges staying in the physical. Okay. Actually, let's start with that and then I'll go to the next subject because I'd like us to start with that. So I'd love to get a show of hands too, or like thumbs up, I don't think we can. Who here has ever had an eating disorder? Me. Yep. Look at all the yeses. And look at that. Wow. So what we look at is using food to ground us, right? Okay, there you go. So we're all in the same club. Emotional eating, exactly. So we all have something in common here, right? You'll notice that. the best intuition. Have you ever seen a lot of psychics at psychic fairs too, can tend to be quite heavy, you know, or like, right? You see them sometimes when you see them. And if you, I don't know if you, any of you knew me way back when, but I immediately gained 20 pounds when I went on tour with Sylvia Brown. Like, right? And I go up and down according to how safe I feel and eating. And sometimes if I haven't done my work, I'm going to choose food. And I, right? And that's just the way it is. And so consoling. So what we want to do, and I wrote a whole book about it called Weight Loss for People Who Feel Too Much. So sometimes we can find ourselves keeping a boundary around us because we don't know how to ground, because we are so developed up here that the body sometimes goes, okay, you're, forget it. We have to meet you where your energy is. So we're going to grow because you can't contain. I have to contain you somehow. Right. Or sometimes it could be the exact opposite. Exactly. So you will find that it could go up and down for you, just to be aware of it. Especially while you're doing this work, to always take a salt bath, especially when we come into this section of the work where we start pairing up and stuff, you might start to feel like, ooh. So you want to be very clear that when you have porous boundaries and you get triggered in the boundaries, that you have other protocols, right? So you're going to want to put your feet on salt blocks. You want to take a Himalayan salt bath. You want to have a Himalayan lamp. I have a giant selenite crystal behind me. See that? Yeah, that's all one big selenite. That's an 80-pound selenite behind me. So you want to have, and I have selenite everywhere. It's all energy. So you just want to be clear, right? You just want to be clear. Like, ooh, okay, I get it. Doug, do you want to add to that?
Well, I think the only thing I'll add, and I'm doing it tonight, I have started bringing essential oils with me when I travel. Mm-hmm. And so really allowing myself to kind of, when I don't have anything, I just take a tissue, put a little drop of something, and I have it in my space so that I can really find myself just being conscious of the space that I'm creating around me. Really loved that visual, Colette, tonight, the egg and seeing the aura, really got that for me. Like it started very light blue, went to lavender, went to pink, and kind of stayed at the end. Mm-hmm. Very profound for me. And I think there's something about knowing where that boundary is. So really, I love the way that kind of came up is when I think about before I do a reading or do a sharing wisdom with someone to just really create space for me in that space where I know that this is my boundary. This is my space. You see, even like you said, owning your space or being grounded in your space. Really love that.
You know who has but the outside of the accoutrements that we have, like the selenites and the this and the that, it's the knowing. It's knowing here and here I need to be in my body. Where am I? Right? So where am I? So before you do readings with other people, and listen, there's a bunch of you in here that are pros at this, that do the other kind of reading, which is very different. When you are the active person and the client is the receptive, the passive receptive, the boundaries really are not that bad because you're talking at them. Here's what I see about you. Here's what I do about that, 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 that. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. And you have a kind of a natural block. A, because they don't give a shit about you, right? Because they didn't pay that for you to talk about yourself, right? And B, because you're just talking about what you're seeing. This is very different. We're teaching you a kind of intimacy that with shared wisdom is a psycho-spiritual intimacy that is so profound that you are both open. And it is such a profound experience where you are not a passive observer. It is sacred. Exactly. Thank you, Trish. It's sacred. You're scared? Is that, or are you saying sacred?
That's sacred. I think
you meant sacred, right, Lisa Silverman? Yeah. Right. You went LOL, right? Like not scared. Yeah. So, and Deborah, this is not what you're going to do with a client just yet. You're going to practice in the room. So it's a very different style of working. Now, some of our certified Oracle guides here use the technique we teach you in Shared Wisdom with their clients. So it becomes much more of a conversational style, a dialogue with the client, where you are sharing things as a method of teaching by sharing, not by talking at them, but by sharing with them. It's a very different experience. It's also different than coaching, which is active, but you're still always the person who is giving something for that other person to do. So there's three different ways of working with Oracle cards, pretty much, right? So what we're doing, I love what Fatima says. Yeah, it's a dialogue from the soul. Yeah, Deborah, don't even think about that yet right now. You'll figure it out later. And there's quite a few pros in the class that, I don't know if Cynthia Fontaine's in here tonight, but there's a bunch of people in here who do this for a living, who change the way they work with clients as a result of this, right? So just give yourself some time to percolate on this. So Shared Wisdom opens up boundaries. Yes, Doug.
Yeah, there's a couple of things too that I think are really important, which is about meditation and what you said. And that's that coming to a session with someone where you are connected to your source, yeah, and therefore you're not looking to connect to someone for a source.
Correct.
So one of the things that can be really tricky as we start to learn these new tools and learn these new approaches is it could be a way where we connect to, we kind of zap power from someone if we're not careful. And I don't think that would happen here, but the way I manage that.
It has happened. Yeah,
the way I manage that is I make sure I'm clear and clean in myself first by doing meditation, by doing a reading for myself first to see what's my dominant energy, to kind of check in what's my anchor card for right now in this moment. And then being really clear that I'm not, when I'm connecting with someone, I'm then coming from a space of wholeness of myself, not looking for anything to be filled or completed or anything else like that. So just another thought on that.
Yeah. So, and I love that. I love what you said, that it is co-creative, right? So when we're sharing wisdom, it is a co-creative sacred experience and you are responsible for your end and the other person is responsible for their end. Now, that said, you can't make another person do their work, but you can notice it if they haven't, right? That's the other thing. So you'll notice sometimes, and you guys have to be okay with this, because as you learn this stuff, you might even be one of the people that starts to feel like, I have to tell them how much I know, right? And then you end up talking at them, and then you got to be able to say, ah, crap, because then your ego gets involved. So because it's a mutual vulnerability, right? That's the mutual vulnerability that we're showing you how to have here. And that's one of the reasons why you guys now will click in as to why we were so hardcore in personal mastery. And where we were saying, this is how we share. This is how it is, because it's so easy to schmutz somebody else with your stuff when you haven't worked it out. Right? You don't know what your motives are for sharing things, et cetera. So we're making everybody very, very clear as to where they're coming from. How clear is the water you're offering? Observer or identifier? Exactly, Tara. Tarak. I just want to call her Tarakal. I think I'm going to call you Tarak. That's your special name, Tara. Right? Why aren't they responding? Exactly. Because here's the thing. Not everybody can, and not everybody wants to, and not everybody will. Okay, I won't do it, Tara. Okay. So we do hear, we want to hear, and this is another reason why we were talking about this being for the household practitioner, that we don't really care if anybody goes out and does this for a living or not, even though you're going to get certified, because it's really about, like when we do the Oracle card parties, it's getting your friends to come around and just talk real. None of this BS, small talk, open-hearted, unashamed, exactly. So this sense of the kind of communicating that is lacking in our world right now, that we're all starving for. And that's what oracles actually do. They get to the heart of the matter, and then you want to share that with somebody else. So it feels a little stunted at first, but you actually sit afterwards, you're like, wow, that was wild. I can't, we shared this, and and you're really right in the present moment. The difference, of course, being not one is better than the other. This is just what we are showing you here. And how to bring in the integration in. I like what you said, Tara, about it being, like we can see how fragmented that we can be and how we want to pull it in. Say bye, Brenda. See ya. You can look at this tomorrow or later. I know you're in Australia, so see ya, Brenda. So, Go ahead.
Can I say, one of the things I talk about when I teach facilitation skills and I talk about helping facilitators kind of ground themselves is to ask them from what space are you sourcing this conversation?
Right.
And so when we're facilitators, I think the same thing is true when we talk about shared wisdom. If we come from the space of expert, then our focus will be on proving our knowledge, we'll be more committed to content than to the learning. So we want to complete an agenda rather than completing, having an outcome for a learner. And I think in shared wisdom, we want to be sharing from the space of companion.
Say that again.
Yeah. I always feel like when you do that, it's like Oprah saying, it's tweetable moment. It's about generating from the space of companion. So what would a companion do? A companion comes alongside. A companion has their own life and their own experiences, but they're with me in this journey.
Yes.
And they're there to share their ahas from their journey with me, and I can hear or share my ahas. But if I'm coming from the space of expert, and there may be a place for that in professional reading, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
That's different.
And we're supposed to be the experts here. We're the teachers, right? So I better be an expert. Otherwise, you're in the wrong place.
I think this idea is that, I love that, Diane, companions witness with you. There's very much about that. You're Colette and I talk about that all the time. So I would just invite you to think about from where am I generating this from? Where am I sitting? And so I like to think I'm in my companion experience there may be times when you just need to be the role of companion that is just providing love and holding space and being with someone.
Yes, holding space. Sammy just said at the same time.
Exactly. So really important.
So when so this is the core of shared wisdom, is to be able to be in the companion space. But if you are coming with a really unclear filter or a dirty filter, you haven't worked your stuff out, you're mad at somebody, or you're jealous, and you're not coming with the right intention, then it's going to dirty the waters. Now, you guys are learning. It's okay if that happens. As a matter of fact, it's good if it does, so you know the difference. So you can see, oh, wow, I was in my ego because I was afraid to be wrong. Or, oh boy, so we're going to have fun. That's the other thing. You need to give yourselves permission. Everybody has permission to be nutty, to be egoistic, to get it wrong, to show off, right? You guys all you got to be hootless. That's right. You got to be completely hootless. And it's not always the easiest thing to read for family. It's, you guys who are learning, so you're all in this at the same point, the same together, and you don't want to assume. So one of the best things that the simplest things my friend Don Miguel Ruiz wrote in his book, The Four Agreements, and I knew Miguel way before he was ever famous, and the simplest thing was don't make assumptions. Don't ever make assumptions. If you make up stories in your head, that's coming from, oh, I think I know what this is. Oh, why is this purple? Do you see this change color? What color is it to you?
I see white.
This is the strangest thing that is happening here. This is a bright green. that is so strange. Are you guys seeing this? This is white. This is just change color. Oh my God. This is green. This is not this color. Holy moly. This is the weirdest thing. I'm so sorry, you guys. I'm freaking out because this is so not that. Anna, do you see this? Oh my gosh. Okay, cool. Anyway, my hair should stay red. Hopefully I don't blonde after this call. Okay. It looks pink to me. I found that strange. As soon as Doug said, oh, I'm getting, everything is pink, I'm like, my thing turned pink. I'm like, okay, this is very strange. Okay, so let's go back to what we were, sorry about that guy, squirrel. So it is Mercury retrograde, I apologize. So we come back around to why are we doing this? And it has to be okay as you learn, because you won't know how you feel when somebody is on point with you or off point with you until you run into somebody where you're off, right? And so you go, oh, that doesn't feel right. And so we all want to come in hoping that we're doing it right. So that's why I say when anybody of you get together in your groups of three, it's perfectly fine for you to say, I'm so nervous. I don't want to get this wrong. Right. And then you talk about how you feel, because if you don't, and you are doing this with somebody that you don't know well, they're going to feel it anyway. And also when somebody else has an agenda for you, either to one up you. Now here's the thing. When you pay for a reading and pay that person to give you a reading and ask them to tell you about you, you have decided, you have a contract that person, you expect that person to have some level of power, expertise, etc. And you are the passive receiver of that information. And we are not doing this here. What we are doing here is something, it is correct. The companion, compassionate companion, sharer of experience, but you are not doing it from just your memory and your life. You are sharing from your connection to spirit. So that is what you are proving to each other. Oh, I am plugged in. This is what I see. And the oracle cards are the facilitators of that connection. Does that make sense to you guys? So there's no wrong. There is only learning. Exactly. Only learning. And so I wanted to, because many of you have had experiences, and I know quite a few of you took the Oracle card course at Hay House, which is completely different, but there's different ways, and it's always going to be based on how you approach this. Doug, do you want to say anything else? I'm completely freaked out about this color.
No, the thing that's coming up for me is just this kind of thing about when we hit resistance. I know
let's talk about that.
And I think it's very connected to this, right? When we're, because right. What throws us off our game, what gets us in a place where we're kind of, we may be great coming in, then all of a sudden we hit something, whether it's resistance with the other person or even resistant energy that we notice. So it might be good to talk about that.
So there's two ways of experiencing resistance. One, which is personal resistance, which is going to be yours. So you will not want... Now, here's the deal. You might not like that person's energy. You might feel like, I don't want to hear this from this person. You may not even know why. Because sometimes you guys are just like oil and water. And right? So you know the kind of people that you don't vibe with. Now, sometimes you resist somebody who has a gift for you because you're scared of what that might mean, that you don't want to look in the mirror. So you might want to make them wrong. So what I want you to do is to really determine that. Like, oh, I had some real resistance from that. Doug and I, you and I play with that sometimes too. Like you'll say, I'll say, can I give you some feedback? He went, no, I don't. I want you just to be my friend right now. And I'm like, okay. And then he'll say the same thing to me. And he'll go, no, I just want to talk. Right. I just want to talk it out. So that's okay too. You have to know, oh no, this is why you have to recognize it exactly. Recognize the resistance, name it. Just name it. I've been in distance to get into the classes now. That's cool, Dermot. You can just sit and watch. That's also okay, right? Recognize the resistance because this is very intimate. And so resistance can be a way for us to avoid the next level. So here's why I want to bring up the card. So we talk about every time we move to a new layer of this content, and which is why we have all those months of integration, because you really need to play with it and to be with it and like simmer it like for a few months. So we are up leveling, right? We're up leveling from personal mastery. And personal mastery, we really put up that mirror. And I'm going to tell you something. Some people get mad when we've shown them their shadow and they don't want to do anything about it. And after the course is over, they're pissed off. And that's not hardly that's everybody, given how many people come back and take the class again, but it's very common. When we do shadow work, they're like, I don't want to look any further. I don't want to go there. And then when you're ready, you do. So that's why I always say resistance is okay. It's the timing of things. It's you cycle through it. There are seasons of being able to look at the next layer, right? Were you going to say something, Doug? I can tell.
Yeah. You know, you were right. The resistance piece for me, I think, too, and I'm going to say what you say. It's in the home play. It's in the activities, the video summaries that we talked about. you know, one of the things that we can do with resistance is we can either let it shut us down or we can let it open us up. And yeah. part of what we want you to do, especially when you're working with your groups, and this is in the home play, is to open, allow it to open you up. And a way to do that is to acknowledge and own resistance. So,
yeah. Okay,
like, let's say Colette and I and Anna are working together as a threesome. We're doing readings, are sharing wisdom, and we're in kind of this practice activity, just like you guys might be in the next little while. And all of a sudden, I'm something that a card Colette's read for me is causing me to really like either be sad or be angry or shut down or something else. Rather than just shut down, say, wow, Colette and Anna, you know what? I'm really feeling some resistance in me to this message. Like,
correct.
When you said this word, it really caused me to just kind of tense up or restrict or constrict. And I just need to kind of say that. And at that point, it's a good place for all of us to maybe draw some cards about what's the nature of this resistance in our group.
Yeah.
Or especially for me, if I'm the one feeling it, because even though it's personal, and again, I'm quoting you, Colette, here, but it has universal underpinnings, right?
Yeah.
These personal resistances have that. And our goal is not to let it completely shut us down, but to be curious, to, as Marilyn said, that's interesting. How do we open into that conversation? And as a group, how do we learn together about what that resistance might be about?
Right. So one of the things that I've noticed is that most of you are starting to realize that it's okay to be vulnerable, or like you're noticing you're a little more vulnerable, but vulnerability not being like, I am open to being hurt. It's I'm more open, right? So there's a different type of vulnerability, maybe a softness. So some people have been taught that that means you are going to be hurt, right? So if you are intimate, equal, this will equal being abused or in some way, right? It's not okay to be vulnerable, right? So that may come up where, and I know sometimes it takes people half the class to come into Shared Wisdom because they've just been too scared to join us. They were like, what did I do? I signed up for this class. And then they're like, okay, it's week 4. Is it okay if I join in now? And it's totally fine. It's like, it stirs stuff up for some of us and it has to be okay. And you have to, and that's part of this journey of being vulnerable and going to a new level of expertise and a new level of experience, right? Where this is, remember, integrated experience equals wisdom. So the experience has to happen. And yes, it's courageous, exactly. And experience is also necessary, but part of the experience is the resistance too. Like, that doesn't mean that I'm resistant, therefore I'm not having the experience. That's part of your experience, right? Like taking a little longer to start the class, for example, is just part of your experience. None of it is wrong. And that's really key, that you really get that resistance is par for the course, right? And that you're meant to be looking at that. Right? You can be vulnerable. Exactly. And that's why we taught you in personal mastery how to communicate, and why poor Anna has to go. Well, she did it. She spent the, and she's having the best time right now with you guys, because she's like, we keep talking every day. This is the best group. Oh, it's so great. And because it's hard in personal mastery, it takes a while for people to realize, oh, right. I put the grit on the page and the pearl in the room. I don't dump on people. I don't challenge people. I don't come in here to grandstand and get attention and stuff like that, right? Because people that do that don't last, right? So you start to realize, like, oh, wait a sec, I am part of a group. Oh, I can learn. It's safe. Oh, I can just talk about what's really going on. I don't have to like make a smoke screen and like pig pen come in here and push, poof, 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 right? I love that. It's my favorite character in what's it called? Charlie Brown, Peanuts, the Peanuts group. Okay. So I chose a card for you guys tonight. I said, so what do we really need to focus on tonight? Okay. So, and I got the card Lilith. I chose a goddess, Lilith, one of my favorite cards. Isn't she beautiful? She's got that look. Ooh. She's in the alignment position. I'm going to read it. So interesting that we're talking about boundaries in and taking care of ourselves, right? In module 3, it's like being really, self-care comes first. Before you pick a card with someone else, you got to know where you are. Where am I? Just got to know where your dominant energy is and be able to name it. You don't have to come perfect. You can be pissy, but you can have had a bad conversation. You could be scared about something. You just need to be able to name it and put it on a paper. Oh yeah, okay, I'm in this space right now. That's my filter. Okay, cool. I'm gonna read through the filter of my life experience and personality. This happens to be clouding things today. Ah, right. So it's really understanding where you're at so that you become in that, because this whole course is about the transpersonal. We're going beyond the personal, but you need to be able to name the personal so you can hover above it. I'm going to show you a really cool exercise. So here's the alignment message. Do you sometimes fear being independent? So let's talk about what that means. So one of the things about the internet that's been very interesting, and one of the reasons why I personally don't like it and love it at the same time, why I love it is it enables us from 36 countries to come together in this forum and share our experience, strength, and hope with each other to support and to grow. We wouldn't be able to do this if it wasn't for the internet. I wouldn't have been able to reach you guys. You wouldn't have come here. You wouldn't get to know Anna, Doug, all of that stuff, right? Now, so if you look at it as the other side, it is a place of kind of like weird mob outrage weirdo. Okay, so right? So you have this. So let me tell you how this relates. So it's very difficult to be independent in on the internet, for example, because you want to be the same as everybody. You want to find your tribe. You don't want to step out, or you step out so loud that you're hoping you'll get attention over there. You'll notice that everywhere. So the independence, if you are truly authentically you, it means that you're not going to be a sheeple, right? So it should have been, you know, in this play. What are you laughing at, Doug?
Sheeple, because I love that. I love it.
Right?
I laugh every time you say it.
It's the sheeples. We're not sheeples. So you don't want to, yes, you want to be independent, but then you get scared because people will shame you, right? You're going to get shamed. Exactly. Only the sacred groups, right? You can, right? So the sheeple groups. So there's that. So our whole culture is based on, there is a bit of tribalism. We're all having that, the cult of personality, identity politics, all this stuff that's going on right now. Where do we fit in, right? So independence is kind of scary sometimes, right? And remember, Lilith was demonized, and somebody said, how can you put her in your deck? She's not a goddess. I'm like, yes, she is. She was Adam's first wife, and the Bible demonized her, just like because she would not be mounted by Adam. She did not want to be dominated by him, right? She wanted to be his equal. So sometimes we find that we're not, the independence is about our uniqueness that still allow us to be with a group, right? So sometimes we're scared that, what if we're a little different, right? So, okay. That's on one sentence. I promise I won't do it for the whole thing. So it says, you may have been conditioned to believe the only way to have close relationships is to become enmeshed and entangled with others. Put up your hands if this is something you know. Hello. Right? So, yes. Okay. So, hello. I love this. Like, oh, yeah. And those of us who are very intuitive, like everybody here in this course, and even if those of you who don't think you are getting that way, we have been taught that enmeshment is normal. Not okay to say no, right? We're going to get punished. God forbid we get successful, then somebody is going to be out there with an axe, which by the way does happen. So you just have to get over that and just let them cut the fucking tree down. It's okay. Thank you for sharing. So you got to kind of know that your core is crucial. If you don't know who you are and you don't have a clear sense of your integrity, your ethics, your morality, what you believe in, like if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. Do you understand this, right? So you got to know, because in our world right now, there is a consequence for being independent. So are you courageous enough to be that Lilith, to be the the empowered Lilith, right? And all of us here in this, if we are here and we're really soaking this all in, we have this opportunity, right? Okay. So do you long for independence and breathing space, yet fear reprisal should you choose to detach from unhealthy companions or situations? I don't know. Geez, who wrote this? Okay. You'll need courage for the alignment task Lilith asks of you. Walk away. Establish a more empowered sense of self by saying no to these relationships that drain your life force, right? So that drain your life force. And this is really key in module 3, because we're talking about a way for us all, each individually, to deal with our resistance, which is fine because there's a reason we have resistance, okay? It's not just because, oh, I'm resistant, I feel like it. No, because we don't feel safe and we're scared of what's going to happen. Normal. A trigger means that we push a button that is memory-based. It's got nothing to do with what's in front of us. It's that thing in front of us matched that little button and it woke us up. And we're now back in the fear state and all those other things. So we have to really get, that's why this is such a safe place and not for the faint of heart. I like what Mary Elizabeth said earlier. So we become insecure, Terry, that's right. The insecurity there. Right, so we get scared of our resistance because we don't know what it means. Shields up, that means it's bad, not necessarily. So that's why we're saying, everything you experience in this course is good, right? It's good, it's good, it's good. It's because you're looking at it. That's why it's here. And we all change together exactly. Now, here, I'm going to just read one more thing. So I'm going to pass over this thing, other people's chaos. Okay, so I will read this. So, and then maybe some of you today will connect to it, maybe you won't. Sometimes people attract drama into their lives to avoid accountability, which is one of the reasons why we taught you in personal mastery how not to share and how to share. Enabling this dynamic helps you avoid the responsibility that's required when you have no one else to blame for the conditions of your life. This is all about accountability. Other people's chaos then becomes a smokescreen that muddies the real truth, that deep down you may be afraid of the consequences of taking charge of your life. However, all is not lost. Remember, this is an alignment task. You would not be here reading these words if you weren't ready or strong enough to make these changes. You are up-leveling your life. Lilith is beside you to lend you the strength and courage to do the right thing for yourself and others. And that does not mean you're going to know what that means in the instant that it happens. Okay. You could take a couple of days. It could take you a week, right, to sort through something. The point is that we're here to try. We're here to get more intimate with ourselves so that we have wisdom to share with others. You are not going to figure it out in the moment. So, and then all of a sudden judge yourself like, I didn't get that right. Okay. Right. In that moment, I responded the best way I knew how, with the tools that I had, with the conditioning that I've had up until this moment of that. Then we have the alignment task that takes some unraveling and takes some time. Right? What does Terry just say? Right, okay, so let's talk about the difference between a red flag and insecurity. That's a good one.
That's a good question.
Right, Doug, what do you think?
Well, for me, I have to see where I feel it in my body and
yes,
in my intuitive body as well as my physical body. So I kind of pay attention to say, does this feel like a comforting truth in a sense? Not maybe not comforting, but like for me, a red flag shows up at a much higher frequency in my, is the only way to describe it. So it's like, it's like, I don't feel safe. I don't feel comfortable. It's not even about me. I could have been fully prepared and fully ready, but I'm really aware that it's not in me. Now, I have to say that has taken me an effort to get used to because initially I pick up other people's stuff. So I think part of it comes with practice, and I would encourage us all to just note that. That's journaling is an important task to be able to go back and look at how you were feeling in different places. But definitely, for me, it's about where I feel it in my body and how it, the frequency with which it comes in.
So, this is exactly right. Practice, practice, practice. So I will tell you, for me, a red flag comes up here. Mm. It is actually in a different spot.
Yeah.
And I will remember it. It's like somebody took a photograph. Click. And then I'll either go, oh, but I love them. They're so nice and they need me. And then a year later, I'm like, plonk. Or I will go, uh-oh, that's a red flag. We got to pay attention to that. Okay, so, but sometimes the red flag comes in the moment, but because we haven't worked out whatever the pattern is, we dive back in because we're meant to. Coyote spirit, no problem. Yeah. Now wait, the second one, insecurity, is very much focused in here. It comes, the red flags are there, the insecurity is here. For me, everybody's different, but you should be similar. Like Doug has said, it's a higher frequency and a more personal frequency. So red flag out, insecurity in. Exactly, Sammy. Yeah. Chest for you, Jacqueline, right? So I get it in my throat too. So it's just really, these are really good to talk about tonight because that is what we're talking about. So I want to also, there's two main subjects I want to address tonight too. So we want to also talk about worthiness. Part of this Lilith in alignment, she doesn't talk about worthiness, but I'd like to talk about worthiness because when you come right down to it, sometimes we've been so conditioned to believe that the independent thought or the up-leveling will cause us to be different than, right? And we're not worthy because other people have told us that we aren't. I wasn't planning on it, Leslie, but I guess we are. I love what she says. So we're tackling all the biggies tonight, eh? But it is true. These are things that all of us have to work on, right? It's that sense of like, am I worthy? Because if you have been taught you have to be quiet, if you've been taught that you're no good unless you're connected, if you've been taught that you better support me or, right, or you know, like any of those kind of things are like, I won't love you unless you go along with this. Children were seen and not heard. And you'll see it in different generations too. So I'm 60 years old. I'll be 61 in a few months. Oh. And Doug is 12. No, I'm kidding. Doug is, what are you, 50 something, right? 51. So you're 10 years younger than me. Are you really? Oh my God. So my generation, I'm at the bottom of the baby boomers. My mother, we learned from our parents, right? So my mother came from the Second World War, lots of patriarchal ideas about things and whatever. And she taught us what it looks like. And that also that affiliation, like the goddess Hera, that was big. Like you were going to marry a doctor, have babies. You were going to find a man, right? So, or whatever, and the list goes on, that if you didn't have those things and you weren't connected and you weren't behaving in a certain way, then you were not worthy. Or my parents were immigrants, right? So you had to work hard. Work, 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 work. So yours may be different, but think about that. Think about your conditioning comes from your parents, their cultures they came from, if you've been raised in the church or if you haven't. This is all just fate. These are things you have to work with. That's kind of the fabric. You've got these threads. That's just, you need to be able to name them. Name them, that's all. Because they are affecting us, right? So instead of being, oh, that's bad, or our learning environment, exactly, that's just part of your storytelling. And the narrative that what we want to do is put it in a box and go, what's outside the box? Actually, I think my friend Joe Dispenza just did a weekend workshop in Bonn, and he was talking about being outside the box. We can't explore consciousness if we don't know what's in our boxes, right? Learn the narrative so you can rewrite. We want to be editors, exactly. We want to rewrite our stories. My mom, go ahead.
Well, we had a question come through in the chat earlier, Colette, and it was really good because it talked about, you know, how do we know if when we're dealing with our, we think we've dealt with our shadows, but it comes back. And I think the reality is, yeah, it's going to keep coming back.
Oh, no, it's okay, Coco. Mommy's not, my dog thinks I was calling the door.
Oh.
Back in your house. Go in your house.
I my own experience of that is that, you know, part of my own work is that sometimes I get reminded by spirit to say, are you sure you've dealt with this? Are you sure you're clear on this? And it's like an opportunity to just reinforce that learning. And other times I'm learning about it at a brand new level. I've been dealing with worthiness in therapy and in group work and personal spiritual work for years. And what I will tell you is just yesterday, I had a new aha that I've not had about worthiness as it relates to friends. Now, this is, and it was brand new. I couldn't believe how significant it was for me and that I, it's like, I'm always, when I was a child, a young boy, I was friends with two other boys, three of us. We ran down, up and down the street, walked to school, all of this, but it was always a two against one. And if you were the one, you got beat up. And
oh
so
my God.
Rejection wasn't just rejection. It was getting physically hurt. Wow. And so when I think about being afraid of rejection by my friends and people that I care about, not even family related. This was from kindergarten through second grade, right? This is a really, these are things that that fundamentally shift us. So I'm up-leveling that. It's still worthiness. It's still the same stuff I've dealt with in a lot of places. And I know it now and I can move through it quicker, but it's paying attention and noticing so that we can find those places of up-level and kind of through that kind of spiraling up almost.
Yeah, it is like a magical video game, Allison. Thank you for sharing that, Doug. You know what? This is, Doug and I have a commitment. We talk about this, as does Anna. You know, we bring ourselves to the table. Once we've done our work, we use ourselves as teaching tools, right? It's not so much that you want to hear our stories. It's just that it's important to hear you aren't alone. Plus, we are committed to doing the work, to making the change. And that means we dive in all the time, right? So in it so that you recognize that there's a path, and we are the path. What are we? The path makers,
pathfinders,
right? So we're like taking the machetes and going like this and whatever, and then coming telling you guys, hey, guess what? Over here, you know, if you ever have this issue, just so you know. And you learn through storytelling, right? Trailblazers, that's it. So, and it's interesting too that. When people say, I should have done this already, like, look, I've been in this field for over 30 years. I've been teaching forever, you know, and I have these existential experiences where I can get really hurt too and go, okay, so what's the lesson here? And how do I stay in my core and know who I really am and things like that? And that's just par for the course. And you will get triggered on things. And the more you up level, the more is asked of you, especially if you are serving others. You have to do your work. Otherwise, you're not helping anybody. You know what I mean? Healing is not living. A new level up the level. There you go. So I'm feeling, and there are times when you want to sit this one out, right? And go, okay, I'm done with that, all this changing. But it is what it is.
Yeah.
And you just got to love life. Life is lived every single day. We only die once, but we live every day.
Colette, I'm wondering, I know that we had some questions come in, then one of the things I really loved that we've talked about before is the story of how to get on your bird when you can't get on your bird.
Oh yeah, let's do that.
Because I want to make sure we have time to talk about that.
Oh yeah, so I wanted to take you guys through an exercise. So what I'd love to do is actually, I'll tell you about it, then I want to get a couple people up. I think we can practice tonight and get you guys up here. So hey, Joanne, there's Maria. Oh, look, I love seeing the people that I, like for me, I got to just give just a moment, one moment, please. Okay. So I just want to say, when I see people coming back and being here and really participating and, you know, and I know they've done so much work and they've done, so I just want to give a shout out. The fact that you show up, you guys show up. Is just, that's what it's about, is showing up. And you do, and that's it. So, and you show up for you. Okay, so let's talk quickly about this. So sometimes, okay, so if we, let's say you want, I'm going to pretend, say you want to be more known, right? Say you really want to get out there and help people. And I know a bunch of you have, you know, tried it and whatever. And every time you step out, all your shit comes up, okay? It's just, that's just the way it is. And you get triggered left, right, center, and sideways. And you got to get to a place where you feel good for you and nobody else can tell you you're great. It's not going to help. I mean, it'll help for a second, but you have to get there and go, I know who I am, not whether I'm good or bad. I'm in this moment. I am so myself, right? It's like, I am so myself. I am so honest about who I am. if you are rigorously honest with who you are and you don't bullshit yourself or anybody else, I'm telling you, you will soar. It is really about self-honesty. Self-honesty. Now I'm going to talk about the other thing. And the rigorous honesty, keep going. And some days you wake up against your own denial and you'll feel like you're a victim again. And then you start it again. And that's the way it is. And if you guys can sign up for that, if you sign up for that honesty, yes, it's exhausting, but we get time out too, Sammy. It's not like this every day, but you're here in class because this is what we're doing. We're talking about this tonight. Okay, so let's now talk about what happens to us when we can't get on our bird. Say we're in a meeting. Doug is talking and I am getting triggered. All right, I'm getting triggered. Oh, Doug is triggering me. I don't know him that well enough to say, you can't always share your wisdom with somebody who doesn't give a shit, okay? So like say that's a business person. I'm pretending it's somebody that doesn't really know what we talk about, right? I love what Maria just said. I love that. Well, Maria, you're a different person. And so it's like you're living proof that this works. So here we go. You are triggered. Somebody is saying something to you. You don't know how to respond. So you need a timeout because you know somewhere in here and your mind just shut off, right? Right? Have you guys ever experienced it? Literally, clunk, they turned off your brain. Right? Because your feelings are all over the map and you do not know how to get out of that. I know, I love how everybody is a snarky friend. Okay, so here's, yes, a snarky friend or somebody attacking you or somebody arguing with you or like a family member is blaming you on something and talking about what happened 40 years ago when you did something that they're still mad at. It doesn't matter. Or a business person that is telling something to you and you're supposed to know what it is and you don't know what it is and you just need to take off and you'd love to leave and get on your bird and come right back. So while you are talking to someone else, I want you to imagine this right now. I want you to look at me talking to you, pretend it's you and me right here. And I want you to go hover. Imagine there is a ledge. There's, say it's a 10-foot ledge above you. Right behind me, like, okay, here I am, it'd be up there, right? So you want to go way up there. I want you to just sit up there and pretend, you know, when you're a little kid and you're on a swing and your legs go like this. Okay, so imagine that you're talking to somebody. Be the elf on the shelf. Exactly, Anna, say there, I can always count on Anna. I did not have a condom for my computer. Thank God I did not have coffee in my mouth for her to say that. Yeah, honestly, let's call it the elf on the shelf. Elf on the shelf. So now can you imagine being very present but still being the elf on a shelf? I really want you guys to connect with how that feels, how different that feels. That and right while you are present, you can be the observer at the same time. It should feel foreign, Sammy. It should feel bizarre. But as long as if you feel it and you know it's foreign, it's working. Such a different feeling, right? It's weird. It should feel very strange. It's squirmy. Mm-hmm. It's squirmy because you're trying to hold on and just notice that it's, for some of you, it's squirmy. It's unnatural. Exactly. Why is that unnatural? It's so fascinating. Because the me, when you are cut off, your cortisol is going, you've shut off a part of your brain. You can't be intuitive in that moment, right? You shut off. What happens? You're coming from the frontal lobe or the reptilian brain. You're not, the rest of you isn't working. You got to go somewhere. So you'll notice you're noticing yourself all numb and like caught and batten in there. So, but the more, yeah, it's hard to stay in tune. That's right. Cause you're reclaiming yourself up there. I am no longer important. Like being absent. You take yourself out. Mm-hmm. You get out of the fight or flight and you can be much calmer as the elf on the shelf. I'm going to call it elf on the shelf now. Yes, and let me tell you how I learned about that. More curious. Thank you, Allison. Sit up there long enough. You can then take a deep breath. And it doesn't matter what that person is saying. Self on the shelf, Trish Nichols. We have to That is amazing. Get to be the self on the shelf. Now that was brilliant. Coin that. Yeah, we know who did. The self on the shelf. And then you can breathe. No trademark infringement. Oh, that's great, Trish. We all heard it here. So think about that. And then just imagine, you know, when you swing, imagine your legs swinging and you're breathing and you can become curious and you start to notice what else there is. This is called therapeutic dissociation. I will tell you how I first felt this. When it was psychotic dissociation, when I was raped. And I left my body. I was out in the corner of the room and I watched everything. It's how I survived. And it's how I got super intuitive, because that's where I go. I go up and over. I can watch. I can just watch. And I'm no longer me, I. The personal is no longer as important as a transpersonal. Correct, Chris? That it is a skill. So what we want to do is wield it here. We want to be very conscious of it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I spent a week where this saved me, where something was happening towards me that was painful and unfair. And so I had to, and it triggered all my buttons, and I was scared, and I was angry, and I was hurt, and I was like confused. And my feelings were all over the place, and I was in fight flight, and I had to sit the self on the shelf like half my day and breathe until, and I didn't even worry about whether I could sort it out or not. I had to wait. I had to wait till I cycled through that. And this is, now that's extreme, but where it's most helpful is in the moments that is not extreme at all. Not extreme at all. When you need it subtly. In a reading, and when you're sharing wisdom with somebody, and you all of a sudden in yourself, oh, I care too much about what I'm saying to that person. Up I go. Let's get on the shelf. The self on the self on the shelf. I love that. Mm-hmm. Stuck on the swing, can't get. Oh, you're, wait a minute. Triggered by a text as I started this. Stuck on the swing, can't get to the shelf. Okay, well, let's pull your swing up on the shelf. Let's just make a decision. It's your choice whether you're going to get suction cupped onto the text where the I is triggered. I, the personal is triggered. You want to get to the transpersonal. That's how we do this here. You cannot move beyond the personal, which is all memory. You can't choose a new reality until you're no longer the I. Right? Oh, I love that. It makes me want to sing in my head, la, 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 while I watch. Go right ahead. Does this make sense to everybody? This is very helpful. So let's bring a couple people up.
Great. So if you'd like to come up and talk a little bit about kind of guiding through this process and seeing what it feels like about a specific issue in your life, go ahead and raise your hand and we'll bring some folks up. So now would be a good time to do that. And Abby, I'm going to start with you. So I'm going to go ahead and promote you to panelist, Abby.
Now I'm going to teach you guys how to do this in a way that's personal. Where is Abby? I'm just, what a good call tonight. I, you know, we plan everything up in advance and then we do something that is similar, but better, way better. Every time I say to Doug, is this enough?
I think we could. I think we could just stop with, and then we do something, because we do, and it's amazing. Hi,
Hi,
Abby.
Where's your?
Gonna unmute you. There you are. Can we hear you? Try talking, Abby. Let's see if we can hear you.
You, Abby. No.
Oh, no video cam. I'm gonna see if I can ask her to start video.
It's much better for us to have a video camera, Abby.
Yeah.
Can we? Sorry, sweetie. We're gonna pick somebody that we can see.
Let us know if you get it fixed. We'll go ahead and switch you back. And let's go, going to pick another one from the list. I'm going to go to Wendy, who actually posted in the chat just a minute ago, actually. So Wendy, you're coming on. Let's make sure we can get video and audio. Well, Wendy, where'd you go? There you are.
There you go. Hi, Wendy.
Do you want to try talking so we can hear you?
Wendy, we need you to talk. Can you hear us?
Okay, now I can. It was muted for a second. I got it.
Okay. So can you just, what a really good way, pick a card, just like random, just pick one card.
Let me grab my deck, hold on.
Yeah. Just pick a card. Oh, cards are not there.
They're here.
Just pick a card. What's my dominant energy?
That's my dominant energy. Okay. And we have Treasure Island 9.
Okay. I wouldn't, you know what? That's not going to work with Treasure Island. Let's pretend you pick not for you. Go pick not for you. Just pick the card out. Can you find it? Like, just pick the card out. Here's the reason why, because I would not want to sit on a shelf. When I got Treasure Island, if that's my dominant energy, I'd be like, yeah. Okay. Let's pretend you pick not for you. Now, I would like you to imagine that not for you confuses you right now. It wouldn't be hard for it to confuse you. So let's just say the universe has just made you pick not for you. Treasure Island was not for you. Thank you, Anna. That'll really screw her up. Okay, so, right? Imagine that you got Treasure Island and you got not for you, right? If you were going to get those two cards together, what would you initially feel?
Like I'm not going to get the treasure. Like, well, I might as well go home. I didn't get it.
Or wouldn't it be like, or perhaps you might wonder, why not? What does it mean? Oh God, is this bad? Why did I pick not for you? Right? Like when the treasure was really good, I was really excited, then not for you. Oh my God. Right? Like pretend this, right? So immediately you would be in a reactive phase. Would you agree?
Right. Yeah.
Can you conjure that feeling of like, ugh?
Yeah. I guess I'm kind of stuck right now because my whole body's in that kind of anxious mode.
Good. From that excellent. Text. That's what I want. I want you to get there to anxious mode. Yeah. I was trying
to. Yeah. My whole body is just like, oh, why is this triggering me so much? I don't.
Yeah. Oh, this is good. This is so good. Oh, we want you to be triggered. Okay. Now we're going to get you untriggered. Okay. So just keep talking
Perfect.
To me. So just right as you're talking to me, I want you to imagine like, okay, I'm here. I am so triggered. I'm going to be the self on the shelf. Screw you, Colette. And this stupid call. I'm going to get up there. And like, keep your eyes open. Just look at me and like check out. Basically, I want you to check out and sit on the shelf and start observing this conversation. And let it be okay. Like, oh, whatever. Wendy's feeling all these things. Whatever. I'm going to get up there. There's Wendy down here with all the feelings, whatever. And I'm just going to go up there. So you're, can you feel that? Are you starting to dissociate a little bit?
Yeah. It's interesting. Cause before, the anxiety started in my chest and then it became my whole body. And now it's kind of rising up again and wanting to go out. So it's more in the upper body again instead of
okay, so let it go out. Imagine right now, just imagine the anxiety is like you're sitting on the shelf looking down and the energy is going like this, like a geyser, like that. The anxiety is going, woo, and just let yourself watch it.
Yeah, I feel like I can breathe it out.
Right. So, and I put you under a lot of pressure right then by getting you to get Treasure Island, getting you to get a card. You're wondering, what the hell am I doing? Am I doing it right? I'm on the camera and la, 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 la. Everybody's watching me. And I wanted the anxiety to grow in you so that you could just get above it and go, okay, well, right. And you didn't do anything other than just go, okay, screw this. I'm going up there. Right? No judgment. That's up there. You can't. What happens when you can't be in two places and hold a conversation if the person is across from you? Oh, you can. You're just listening. You do this. You present as listening. This is what happens, that when you are in that conversation, you are actively listening. That's exactly right, Sammy. And the other person feels that you are listening. As you are breathing, you are presenting as an active listener, and the other person feels like you're hearing them.
Yeah.
And by the way, here's what it felt like for me to be the aggressor in that. At first, I felt like I was pushing against something because you had the energy. It was like this. And then I went through it. So I was like, oh, I dissipated. My saying, do this, pick a card, look at the knot for you. What are you doing? Da, da, da. Like, go up there, get to the shelf. Da, da. As I was da, 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 at you, you got, there was no resistance from you. You were like, oh no, I'm going up there. You can. So it's like Kung Fu or Tai Chi, right? You know, when you, or when, is it Kung Fu or it is Kung Fu, not Tai Chi. It's, or Qigong, which is the one that's the martial art, Kung Fu, where you become like water. So the opponent no longer has, the resistance is their own. You step out of it. You step out of your own, you let it go. It's like a water. Right? Didn't you guys feel that? Right? You felt that. Like I felt it right away and I felt myself. And then you flow with it. Then the other person no longer has any resistance to push against. Aikido, that's the word I was looking for, Donna. So the other person naturally unravels too. By you getting on the shelf, you do it for both people. Once that other person, nice. say you're dealing with somebody who's aggressive, you know, aggressively talking, like I was being aggressive with you. Well, aggressive as I can be, right? So I was telling you to do something, find a card. No, that's not the right one. Get that one, right? So you're like, oh, you're feeling somebody push you, right? As soon as you weren't there anymore, oh, I was like, okay, cool. Look at, you know, Catherine said we practice that in our Tai Chi class. That's right. It takes only a moment. It's not like you're going into a meditation. You're just like, oh, right? It's very easy. So when you are doing a reading, when you're sharing wisdom with somebody, and in our course, you get to say, can we stop 1 second? I'm having a response, or I'm reacting right now. I need to just, can I just stop you right there? I'm feeling resistance. I'm actually feeling anxiety in my body the way you talk to me. And that's how we work it out. Okay, so can we take a second and get up on the shelf? So your partners in the group would say, okay, let's take a second. And then by the time you're up on the shelf, everybody's laughing and you go, yeah, wow, that really triggered me on something from before. That's what we're teaching here. But you may not be able to do that with somebody that doesn't care or doesn't know you or it has an agenda, which is the world sometimes. So you got to be able to go back and forth, like be like, so that you're never ever resisting anything other than your own experience, right? So the world doesn't come at you and you're like, okay, I can go up there and this is very manageable now.
Yeah.
You feel better?
Yeah, I feel much clearer. Yeah, like the whole body's clear, open.
Yeah, I notice it here, your eyebrows are softer. Isn't that cool? You go from reaction to response, exactly.
I think it's also really helpful because when you're trying to solve, let's say that this text that you received actually does require you to take some kind of action. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know whether that's the case or not, but sometimes we're in those conversations where we need to do something. And what I find is that the place not to do something from is when we're not up on the shelf. It's when we're caught in the middle of all the turmoil, the drama, the whatever it is that's going on. So this process that Colette's sharing with us really helps us to get to a place where we can be in neutral observer and say, huh, interesting. And it's that curiosity. It's that place of noticing what's there and what needs to happen. And just kind of allowing yourself to respond with intention rather than react with emotion, right? When we react with emotion, we end up typically not getting the best of what we need. But when we respond with intention, we can be much more effective. And so, because there may be a need to set a boundary or to do something else with someone or to have a conversation. But it's about responding with intention rather than reacting with emotion.
Yeah, so we'll go, I'll say this again. So respond with intention, react with emotion. So when I shared that, if I'm reacting with emotion, I have learned because in the past, I have my Mars is in Aries. I don't know if you know anything about astrology. I am the bull in a china shop. I am the one that comes in and breaks all of the stuff. And then afterwards say, oh, I can't believe I did that. So I've had to train myself to wait, to regroup, to find what my truth is. Then I can respond. Plus I have a team of people that don't let me. But But you know what I'm saying? So we have to, and then we cause very little ripple for other people, and we cause very little reason for us to apologize. Oh, I'm sorry, I broke all the dishes in that place, right? It's so all of us, I'm just using that, right? So it's that sort of same thing. And when we're feeling overly sensitive, then we're taking things too personally, even with the cards or a task. Like, oh my God, if we sit on the shelf with anything, it becomes that much more easier and we move through it much quicker, right? So does that make sense to you?
Yeah. And I'm a Mars and Pisces and a Pisces.
Oh, my husband has Mars and Pisces too. So it's like, oh, I don't know. What am I doing? Which choice am I going to make? This one or this one? I don't know. This looks good. Let's think about it. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Wendy.
Thank you.
I like what Maria said too, like writing a response email, sit on it overnight. Like Anna taught me this when she first came on board. One of the things that I loved about her is she used to always say, let's put a pin in that. Let's put a pin in that before we do anything about it. Let's just put a pin in that. And I'm like, what does that mean? I just want to do it now. And I was just like, put a pin in it. And like, oh, we could actually slow down and put a pin in something. So I loved the visual of that. So, and that's how we can all put a pin in something so that we give ourselves a moment to regroup. So this is exactly the moment to regroup. Speaking of Anna, do you want to come up for any closing words? I think we should bring Anna up last 5 minutes. Doug, what do you think? Yes?
She's coming up now. There she is.
Oh, she does not have her pajamas on. Look at that. She's dressed. Now, why is her voice not happening? Hello, Anna. We cannot hear you.
Okay, yeah, you know.
We gotcha.
This might be for anybody else who comes up. If Doug and Colette can't hear you, go down to the corner where the little microphone is and you have to click a button that says join with audio.
So. Very good. Thank you, Anna.
Yeah.
So,
hi, everybody.
So do you have any comments too from what you've seen in the rooms this week? And I have not yet gotten to the questions, guys. I'm going to do that. So was there any glaring wonderfulness that you want to comment on?
Oh, it's all been wonderful. I've been enjoying. I'm so proud of everybody. Everybody, like you guys, they're really stepping in and really, you know, showing up for themselves.
Yeah.
Which is all you have to do. You know, like you're not here to impress me. But I am impressed because you're showing up for yourself and that's all that you need to do. So, I love reading through and, seeing the epiphanies, seeing things that you are exploring. You've gotten very sophisticated. You don't just say, oh, I feel this, isn't that interesting? Instead you say, well, why do I feel this and what's the nature of it? And then you go in and you explore it. And that's just amazing to me, you know?
Doug, were you gonna say something? No, I heard you say, no. So just so you all know, it is true, Anna and I have a touch-based conversation every morning with a cup of coffee and there has been no complaints. And we have really been in awe of the consistency and the new students are shocking us with your diving in and your real commitment to the process. And also we see the changes in the students that have taken these courses over and over again. And we see different things in everybody. And we change too, of course, right? We have to grow as well. We have to change and work also. So it gives us that sense of, you know, what we do matters, what you do matters, and what this school does really matters to people. And you are what makes it work. So it's a joy for me to not have Anna say, oh my God, what do we do about this? And I think we should do that. It's more like, are you kidding me? Look at this. And she sends me this whole list of all these great posts.
Yeah.
Like, did you see what so-and-so said? And she quotes you. And then so we talk about you in the mornings over coffee. And it is really a pleasure. It's a pleasure. It's a real pleasure. Yeah. Real pleasure. Well, we love you, and we want it, and we do our work too. We know, you know, we're all works in progress, and that's what Doug shows too, is that we want to lead by example, and that means that we have to do our work too. Anna does hers, Doug does his, and we share it with you, and that means that we have to be vulnerable to you too. But we do notice a difference, and we are really impressed by it. And we also love that the people who are struggling, that you talk about it from a place of, hey, this is what's coming up for me. Isn't that interesting? I haven't had one person ask to be rescued. We haven't seen that one.
No.
Which is amazing.
No. I think what I am seeing is, you know, they are... everybody's recognizing the things that they are bumping up against. And rather than judging themselves for it, they're exploring it. And I think that's just, it's amazing. No one's asking to be rescued. No one's saying, help me with this. It's amazing.
Yeah. So I'm going to just, what I'd love you guys to do. Yes, Anna?
Yes, just before you go to wrap everything up, I did, we are going to start working with partners. We didn't start discussing it tonight because we had so much great things to go through, but I will be posting up a document just talking about the partnering, and you could either wait until next week to start, or, you know, if you're gung-ho about it, then you can start this week. But I'll be putting that up by Friday, definitely.
Please do not let your brain explode when you look at module 4.
Right? Module 4 is the brain exploding module.
Yes.
Please don't curl up.
Don't freak out. Remember that you're gonna have plenty. Come on up. Uppy. Up with mommy. Up. Come on. Up. Good girl. Come here. Up. No, I don't want to play.
I have a question. Do we partner you up? No, we tried that in the past. It really doesn't work. We allow you to find your own partner. So we put up a thread and it'll be three, because we have, we always have one witness, and you all take turns sharing. And I'll explain all of that and post it so that you guys will know what to do. But we won't go into it now because it's already 8:30.
Okay. Yes, in a very fascinating way. So remember that there is no structure that you have to, like, you do not have to finish anything in a week. Remember, and especially in module 4, look, if you knew some of the, I have hundreds of pages of things I could have given you, and I always over teach stuff, and Doug is like, well, I don't know, that's a lot. But I think you can handle it. And don't forget, we made this course so that it's long, that it's a long one, so that you have plenty of time to integrate it and play with it. And ouch. Did you see that? Tinkerbell, this is my class, honey. Yes, yes, yes. Demon dog. Okay. No, I'm telling you, it's like never, if I ever tell you guys I'm getting a puppy again, I want you all to write in and say, no, mommy is not a chewy. She thinks I'm a chew toy. I love you guys. I got to tell you, this has been such a journey. And I know quite a few of you were in them from the beta group. And for those of you new, you don't know what the beta group is. It was when I threw a bunch of people together 3 years ago. And should I or shouldn't I start a school? And if I would, it had to be a minimum of 10 years, right? So, and we have come so far and we have grown together. And it, like, the privilege of being able to do this every week and, you know, and to be able to sit down with the content that we know changes lives, and we know it does. We know it does. Like, there's no question. We've seen it happen. So to see all of you immerse yourself in this, a way for you to be more authentically empowered, that's the end of the day, and more magical, because that's what happens. You start to plug in and you realize that the world is so much more than what we believe it is, or that what we've been taught that it is. Oh, she's born on my birthday. Oh, yeah.
No comment.
Her name was originally Harley. I sold my Harley on my 60th birthday, and she was born. Her name was Harley. Oh, yeah. All right, kids. I love you guys so much.
We love you guys.
This was fun.
Bye, everybody.
And Anna's going to write some stuff. Remember, no pressure. Do not put pressure on yourselves. This is a long journey we're on, and it takes what it takes, and you are exactly where you're supposed to be. And Doug, thank you so much for being who you are. And again, every single student that shows up and that watches videos that show up in the rooms, you know, we know you, we see you, and thank you for trusting us. Oh, and I'll tell you know if this changes color.
Bye, everybody. Guys. Have a great night.
Night. Bye. Oh, I was going to turn this off. Hang on. I have to turn this off.
I got it.